First of all, could you run us through some of the standout points of this new strategy?
Well, I think there are probably two or three themes here. You've mentioned one of them, deterrence, and I'll get to that. The first theme is money, a lot of money. And whenever something starts with a B, we know we're serious about it. There'd already been a lot of money going towards defence, but this increases it. And, of course, post-COVID is not only talking about the environment, which might be disorderly and disruptive, but also I think there could very well be competition for money. We know that we need to repair and recover after COVID. There's a classic guns versus butter argument that goes into all of these sorts of considerations. Does it go into defence and security, or does it go to health, welfare and education? So that discussion has to be had. The other thing is in terms of strategy, and this is a defence strategic update. I think what we've seen in this paper is firstly the 2016 defence white paper consigned to the dustbin of white papers, and this will take its place. But also, to me, a pleasing realignment from adventures faraway places back into the Indo-Pacific region. This is our home. There's a lot going on here, and we need to be capable in this region. So I think it's very good that we've come back for a focus. Just interestingly, though, this is really about the Pacific, and frankly, it's about China. So I wonder, what do we mean about Indo? Half of Australia faces into the Indian Ocean, so we need to be thinking about that. Another element I think is really important is just where will this take us? We've been talking for a long time about, do we need to make a choice between our economic security, which is with China, and our prosperity comes largely from there, or do we need to make a choice towards an alignment with the United States and our national defence and security? I think this paper is taking us to the United States, which continues the trend of Australia for 100 years or more of a great and powerful friend. I was rather hoping that any strategic realignment would make us more independent and ability to pursue our national interests here in the Pacific. I think the choice is that or going more strongly with the United States.
It's rather intriguing that you mention those hand in hand as looking towards our own backyard, but aligning ourselves even further with the United States. I mean, this is basically the key issue when it comes to Australia's economy and defence of our times, being piggy in the middle between the United States and China. So how do those kind of line up together if we are focusing on our own region, cutting back on going further afield in terms of some of these missions, but still aligning ourselves with the states?
Well, it's a historical trend. We're a small country. John Howard talked about trying to reconcile our geography and our history. I think Australia has a certain sense of nervousness being in the region. China and their recent actions to militarise the South China Sea, some of their other actions economically, diplomatically, and it seems also in the cyber area, are making us a little bit nervous. So we are thinking, what do we do? Who do we partner with? But also, and another element that is very clear in this paper, is the type of equipment that's being acquired. Very high tech. They're talking about space and intelligence. They're talking about satellites. And one element there says the lasers to knock out main battle tanks. Well, that'll be a beauty if we can come up with that. But we also need to think, how does it change the nature of the force? We've talked about the defence of Australia for many, many years, and white papers quite often be called defending Australia. But I think what we see, particularly in the Navy and the Air Force here now, is a more offensive long-range capability, which I think enables us to operate in an expeditionary node for the Navy and the Air Force that is further away from our shores. But to me, that only says in and around the South China Sea, of course, into the Pacific Islands, but that's not so much a threat there. And my concern there is, again, and it goes back to this theme, how do we use it? Well, we'll be using it as part of a US force.
Yeah, in terms of looking at us, at China as a potential threat in the near future, what kind of capabilities can we really ramp up just on our own in order to sort of face that threat that China might represent?
Well, frankly, not a lot.
Mm.
If you think about the submarines, and Kevin Rudd announced these, I think, back in about 2008, we're being promised, and I say that guardedly, that we'll have submarines in the water in about 2034. Now, I'm not saying the Chinese are coming, but if they were coming, they could have been here two or three times by the time we get submarines in the water. So we just need to be a bit careful, and that in part is my warning. I think this ties us more closely to the United States in terms of most of the equipment, the high-tech stuff is going to come from there. And another theme of white papers, and one I think we need to be guarded about here, is a theme of self-reliance. That is, we could look after our own defence. Well, I think it's always been a fantasy because the type of equipment we've got, very expensive, it comes from the United States. It depends on a lot of logistics support, training and doctrine support, communication support, and the way that you dial in the radio frequencies, you dial in some of the intelligence and so on. Without that support from the US, we're not able to operate at all efficiently. So this all, to my mind, does push us to be a component part of US fleets and US deployments.
Well, it we do live in interesting times. It nobody predicted necessarily COVID-19 in the near future before that happened, but we'll have to see what the future will hold. Peter, thanks very much. Do appreciate you joining us this morning.